What is up, guys? My name is Jordan. I'm with my old man Howie. Welcome to episode 15 of the Jacobs Dynasty Sports Podcast.
Hey, everybody. Thanks again for joining us again. Jacobs Dynasty Sports Podcast. Wow. All I can say about the AFC Championship and the NFC Championship this past weekend, we got the dream matchup for the Super Bowl this year. Man Crush Tom Brady against Man Crush Pat Mahomes. Hard to believe it could actually happen. If you guys have been listening to us most of the season, at the end of the day, I was really high on the Bucs early in the season. They faltered in some of the tougher matchups. They rebounded nicely, and on the way to the Super Bowl, they go on the road, and they take out three teams, including two of the best quarterbacks, arguably of all time.
What about Taylor Heinicke? Don't disrespect Taylor Heinicke.
Taylor Heinicke, Heineken, my Heine, my Heineken. I've forgotten about him, but I'll certainly give some credibility to the Redskins' defense.
Football team.
The whole football team.
No, the Washington football team. They're not the Redskins anymore.
That's true. I stand corrected. So, yeah, we got the dream matchup. Pat Mahomes, the modern-day GOAT against Tom Brady, the legend GOAT who's still sticking around. It's like Jordan and I were talking about it this week. You know, when you look back during your life and you think about dream matchups in all sports, I grew up a wrestling fan, so it was always the big match that came at WrestleMania. Andre Hulk, Hulk Macho Man, Stone Cold Steve Austin The Rock, Shawn Michaels against Stone Cold Steve Austin, with a shout out to Mike Tyson as the special guest referee, and the granddaddy of all dream matches, WrestleMania 18, The Rock versus Hulk Hogan. That's what I equate this to in these games. And we are so looking forward to this big matchup.
Yep, we can't wait. Obviously, we have to wait another full week. We got the Pro Bowl this week, even though it's not really, it's more of a Madden simulation rather than an actual game. But
yeah, I mean, what are they doing with the Pro Bowl?
They're doing a Madden simulation with all the players that made the team.
Is that going to be on TV?
I honestly have no idea, but it should be fun to watch regardless. Football's football, whether it's Madden.
I don't know.
Something to look forward to, especially since there's only one actual game left.
I'm a little bit more excited this weekend about the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, I'm excited too. Praying, even though it's most likely not going to happen, for a CM Punk return after 7 years of him quitting. But once again, that's pretty unlikely.
So we're going to have a little bit of an early discussion about the Super Bowl. The early line, I believe, is the Chiefs are favored by 3.5. It's going to be a little bit different this year. Obviously, because of COVID, they're not going to have a lot of the typical festivities that they have leading up to the Super Bowl. They may have a media day, but the Chiefs are not going down to Tampa Bay until the Friday before the game, 2 days before the game. Tampa Bay, obviously, making some more history. They're playing the first home Super Bowl game, or should I say, even though they're going to be the visitors, yeah, as Jordan will say, at the end of the day, they will technically be playing in their home stadium. Again, kudos to Mr. Brady, who in this past weekend, I thought the first half played one of the most flawless halves of football that I've seen in a long time. And then I think in the second half of the game, he basically got bailed out by his defense.
Yeah, it was definitely, the defense came up huge. I know we talked about last time, the linebackers are the foundation for that team. Devin White, Levante David, their defensive line. Jason Pierre-Paul, even with less than 10 fingers, finds a way to dominate on defense. But
you keep pointing that out. I mean, the guy's been playing, he's been playing football with that injured hand.
A club.
You know, for a couple years now.
Yeah, no, but definitely a great player. But will it be enough to stop the Chiefs? I mean, Eric Fisher went down with, I guess you can call it a season-ending injury, even though there's one game left. The offensive line banged up, but I did read today two of their offensive linemen did practice along with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So the Chiefs should be good to go. Their offense should be good to go with Hill, Kelce, Mahomes. Should be a very good game, but I do have the Chiefs winning just talent-wise, they're much better.
You know, I have to agree. I don't know that talent-wise they're much better, but I do think at certain positions like wide receiver and tight end, they have the more talented player. You know, Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. Although on the flip side with the Bucs, I mean, Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, nothing to sneeze at. I don't know what Antonio Brown's status is for the big game just yet, but we'll see. But you also have Scotty Miller, the self-proclaimed fastest man in the NFL, even though they don't have documentation to back it up.
Yeah, but we both have the Chiefs. Should be a great game. Looking forward to it. The Weeknd is performing as the halftime show. If any of you guys are going to watch that, should just be a great game all around. And it's sad to say, but it will be the last football game until September. Or until preseason if they have it.
No, that's definitely sad to say.
It may be disappointing now, but look at the offseason we have. Supposedly going to be one of the biggest offseasons. You got headlining Deshaun Watson, and along with Stafford, Carson Wentz and Jalen Hurts, even Jared Goff and Wofford on the Rams. They're having a QB competition to start off training camp, so yeah, it should be great.
I wouldn't be surprised to see a team like the Rams make a move, but the problem that you have is when you've got these huge contracts, the implications on team salary caps are just, you know, astounding. Although I did read today Matt Stafford to the 49ers is close to being a done deal. I don't know how reputable that was, but at the end of the day, you know, Mr. Stafford definitely deserves to go to a team that's better than the Lions that he played for the last couple of years, for his whole career, basically.
And we can't forget about the draft, which is also coming up. And March Madness is also coming up. I know we're switching it up to basketball as we transition to basketball, but a lot of good stuff to look forward to with football season coming to an end.
Yeah, and I mean, March Madness is going to be in a bubble this year.
And we will be rooting for Michigan, who will hopefully be the one seed, because that is my school.
And they will hopefully be back and actually playing, because right now they're on a break. Before we get to talking a little bit about basketball, I figured we'd digress a little bit to a little bit of pop culture. You know, the thing that makes this show so great is that Jordan's 18 and I'm 47, and it's the intersection between us, father and son, and the things that we find a common joy in, whether it's football, basketball, trading cards. And one of the things that we found some common joy in over the last couple of years is the Cobra Kai show on Netflix.
Highly recommend watching it.
You know, obviously it's based on the Karate Kid movie from the mid-80s. Ralph Macchio, William Zabka, everybody's favorite bad guy, Johnny Lawrence. And in those movies, as you know, the New Age fans have seen in flashbacks, is Mr. Miyagi. The latest season was released on Netflix on New Year's Day.
We watched it on the way home starting at 3 a.m. while driving home from Florida.
Yeah, we were driving home from Florida, got in the car at 1:30 a.m. Jordan stayed up because he wanted to be able to watch it right when it became available, 12 p.m. on the West Coast, 3 a.m. on the East Coast. He managed to get
12 a.m. on the West Coast.
12 a.m. on the West Coast, 3 a.m. on the East Coast. Managed to squeeze in 3 episodes with me watching alongside him before he conked out in the car.
And then I finished it on my own as...
Yeah, later in the day.
Yes.
Later in the day. But so many interesting things going on in that show. I think one of the things we love the most is about how they're constantly reconnecting to the early movies. And the sort of juxtaposition, for lack of a better way to put it, between Daniel's character in the original movies and sort of him being perceived to be the good guy, and Johnny's character in the original movies with him being the bad guy.
And then you got Kreese, who's just the biggest villain of them all.
He's the ultimate villain at the end of the day. But it's just amazing how they sort of splice it all together. I know that I think they're either filming...
They just started filming yesterday, I think, and the next season supposedly going to come out December or next year of January, but they're trying to push for October with the popularity going up like crazy.
It's tough when you have to wait for those next shows to come.
But we got All-American. So.
They're All-American, which has been okay. It's a little bit different with these shows when you have to watch week to week as opposed to being able to binge watch. But that being said, if you are a Karate Kid fan, highly recommend go back and watch all the original movies. And then you can start binge watching Cobra Kai. Chances are, you know, if you're listening and you're an adult, you at least know the Karate Kid movies. And if you're a kid, your parents can tell you about them. So on to basketball. Yeah. The NBA season is gone. It's a quarter of the way through. God, it's flying. For the regular season. January's almost over. I think this is the point in the season where you start to see, teams taking shape. The pretenders and the contenders, for lack of a better way to put it. Things are definitely going to change as the season goes on. But it's interesting to watch how these teams develop. I think one of the most interesting teams to watch up until this point in the season has been the Atlanta Hawks. You know, in particular, there's so much of a focus on Trae Young going into this season. You know, they brought in so many new players. People expected them to take the next step. And for the Hawks, it's almost like the season has been a mini tale of multiple seasons. You know, they started off the season really strong, winning record.
Trae Young. Yeah. Looks like an MVP candidate. And now they've come back down to earth a little bit. And
well, I think they've started to play stronger the last couple of games, you know, as Trae Young has got his footing back. You know, they've been winning the last couple games. They lost a tough game to the Nets in overtime last night. You know, the Nets' big three, who can't play defense, but they can certainly play offense, all put up close to 30 points, filled up the stat line. I personally think the Nets are going to be difficult to stop as the season goes on. It's very early.
I know, it is very early, but they haven't blown out a single team yet. I guess you can count the Miami Heat, but they were playing without Hero and Adebayo, but they have no defense. And if you're matched up against a team like the 76ers with Joel Embiid dominating, who's going to guard him? DeAndre Jordan?
Yeah, I would expect the Nets to be one of those teams that makes some moves as the season goes on. You know, they're talking maybe Andre Drummond's going to be brought
in. They can't afford him, though. They talk about getting Kevin Love, Andre Drummond. Who are they going to give up? Joe Harris, who they start?
Spencer Dinwiddie.
Who's injured? Who's going to want an injured player?
Well, you know, if you make it appealing enough, even though I don't even think they have any draft picks left. They'd have to put something together. But listen, maybe they're built to win now.
I read JaVale McGee, which would make more sense for maybe a second rounder. But they should be interesting to watch as the season goes on. If we're looking at MVP candidates, no biases. I know he's my favorite player, but LeBron James, I mean, doing what he's doing at age 36, averaging the lowest amount of minutes in his career and putting up the numbers he's putting up, I mean, safe to say that he's an early front runner.
He's fantastic. You know, there's been numerous years in his career where he's always in the MVP conversation, but for whatever reason, the press chooses to give it to other people. It seems like he's playing at another level despite his age. You know, you look around at some of the other guys, you really have to see how they perform as the season goes on. Obviously, Novak Djokic. On the Denver Nuggets.
The tennis player?
Yes, the tennis player.
No, Nikola Jokic, the Joker.
The Joker. He's a joker, he's a smoker, he's a forget it. So you guys don't know that song, as Jordan cringes. Yeah, he's been playing well, although, you know, they're leveling out a little bit as well. The Jazz have been playing pretty well.
Jazz, Donovan Mitchell leading the way after Shaq somewhat roasted him for not performing to a level that Shaq believes is, like, complete yet. I mean, he said, like, I know you're good, but you're not where I want you to be. You're not the level that you should be at. And
I don't know if that was Shaq's way of taking it upon himself to try to motivate Donovan Mitchell, but Shaq got roasted pretty good for doing that at the end of the day. But the Jazz look really good. Yeah. They're deep. They play good defense. I think Mitchell might be out with a concussion right now.
Yeah, he's in the concussion protocol, but he's most likely coming back tomorrow.
And they still had a big win last night.
Yeah, Rudy Gobert dominated, 23 points, 20 rebounds. The original COVID contractor.
Yeah.
Yes, you're in the NBA. But they look great. Clippers are obviously, they're going to be without Kawhi and Paul George for a couple of games. You're like down to the Heat right now. Early in the game, so they're looking like another L for them, but they should be fine when playoffs comes around. Looking at the East, I mean, we all know who the favorites are to be the top four. You got the Sixers, the Celtics, the Bucks, and the Nets, maybe the Pacers.
Yeah, I mean, the 76ers have been playing really, really well. You've got a players coach there with Doc Rivers. Joel Embiid is definitely an early season MVP candidate. I mean, every time you watch this guy play, he's efficient, which I always say to Jordan at the end of the day, it's like, I always want to see that shooting percentage. I mean, he's been incredibly efficient. They've built that offense around him this year.
Seth Curry and Danny Green, those acquisitions, like everyone was saying, like, how Seth Curry, Danny Green, they haven't been superstars, but they come over and they just spread the floor great. Seth Curry struggled a little bit yesterday. He's been struggling since he came back from COVID, but they're winning and they look great. Joel Embiid dominates. Ben Simmons hasn't been the player that we expected him to be, but his defense, 6'8 point guard, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, great. I think Daryl Morey, who came over from the Houston Rockets, is widely regarded as one of the best general managers in the NBA. He's pieced that team together. Like you said, Seth Curry, some of the other pieces that he brought there. Who's the rookie on that team?
Tyrese Maxey.
They did a good job, you know, drafting him. Doc Rivers was actually in place before Daryl Morey got there, but I'm sure that Morey's happy to have him. And again, Morey's an analytics guy. And Jordan's into analytics. He's actually going to be participating in one of the foremost sports forums on analytics at MIT in early April. And, you know, when you have a guy like Joel Embiid, you get those three-point shooters to stretch the defense. You set them up. I mean, they've basically, you know, played as perfect as you could play up to this point in the year. And barring injury, they seem to be also taking it easy with Embiid in terms of resting him and stuff like that where they can. Barring injury, I think, you know, the Sixers should have a good run this year. Yep. I mean, there's no question about it. And they can play defense, which is very important.
Yep. Continuing, I mean,
you know, we can talk briefly about the New York Knicks. The New York Knicks have been better than people anticipated. They've also been a tale of a couple of seasons. You know, they started off the season really strong.
They're like a down stretch. They're still a 8 seed right now, which is crazy to believe, but they're definitely struggling a little bit. Austin Rivers put up 25 points in the first half against the Jazz. They were up by like 16, but then the Jazz eventually came back. So that was a tough loss.
Yeah, I mean, I think RJ Barrett has definitely taken a step forward this year. He's been a big part of it.
Right.
And that's a real nice, important thing to see for the Knicks, because at the end of the day, you really have to draft well to build your teams nowadays, regardless of how many draft picks you have. Over the last 8 games, Barrett's averaging over 19 points, 5 rebounds, almost 3.5 assists, 1.5 made three-pointer. He's shooting 51% from the floor, 48% from three-point land, and 82% from the free throw stripe. Very, very efficient at the end of the day. Tom Thibodeau hasn't run him into the ground just yet, but it may happen as the season goes on. But again, you still want to see him taking that step forward. You know, one of the things Jordan and I were talking about is going to be interesting as the season goes on is, what do they do with Julius Randle? I mean, obviously the Knicks would not be where they are without Julius Randle. He's been playing a fantastic all-around game, and they're going to have to make a decision at some point. He's not signed long-term. And I think it's safe to say they would not be winning as many games without him. They don't have somebody on the bench who's ready to step in and fill that role. But if they're not planning a deep playoff run this year, it might be to their benefit to try to trade him for another first
rounder. Even if we can get a first rounder, we'll take whatever we can get.
Similar to what they did with Marcus Morris
to the Clippers.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on. What's going on with Mitchell Robinson?
I mean, everyone talked about it in the past 2 or 3 years. He looked dominant, got rebounds, put up points, and now he's just coasting.
Yeah, I mean, he tweeted the other day, "I'm looking forward to playing," and then immediately took down his tweet. Again, going around the league, there are some teams right now that are being impacted by COVID. Jordan mentioned the Miami Heat have been missing players for what seems like most of the season. The Celtics were impacted by it. I think Jason Tatum just came back. Michael Porter Jr., folks, that's a guy that's out there.
Sleeper.
And, you know, I don't even know he's a sleeper. I think he was on people's radars. Obviously, he was injured his whole first season, scared some teams away in the draft. He just came back. He's coming off the bench. And the guy's a player at the end of the day. And when we talk about the card market, I had texted Jordan earlier today, and I said, that's a guy whose card you want to be looking at the end of the day. Maybe you can pick him up, you know, for a value price right now. Some strange things seem to be going on in the card market right now. Some of the players who were high flyers seem to be losing a little bit of their hype right now.
Yeah.
You know, Trae Young. I mean, I think other than Luka Doncic, some of these other guys have really lost a lot of their value.
I mean, John Morant's been pretty level as Zion's.
Yeah, he missed level. Games, and now they're missing some games because of COVID. But Zion's value is actually down. I think his base Prism card is a little bit below $700 now, which you have not seen in a while. I think there's been a bit of a flight to quality in the cards, with a lot of people driving up the prices of, you know, the guys that we like to call the blue chips. You know, LeBron James, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant.
The main guys are, you know, your so-called GOATs.
Tom Brady and Mahomes. Again, it's very difficult to go wrong when you're buying cards of the, you know, arguably the best players in their respective sports.
And if you guys go to Target and Walmart, try to look for cards like I do, the market's about to get a whole lot crazier, especially with the first products of 2021 NBA coming out, 2021 NBA Donruss, which involves the Raider rookies. You got the 2020 Optic Football that's supposed to come out, 2021 NBA Hoops. And then in March, I mean, NBA Prism comes out. Oh, that's going to be an SHIT show.
I mean, what was the NBA Hoops boxes? We're going for like $1,200 still or something?
The NBA. No, not the NBA
Hoops. The ones that are coming out in early February.
Oh, the Donruss. Yeah, the pre-order, like, hobby boxes are going for $1,200.
You know, you have to wonder how long that market can sustain. You know, actually on the way home today, Jordan was telling me about a break that was going on Instagram Live. And the amount of money that people are paying
is reeling in.
I don't know if it's just it's because it's an alternative to going to casino and gambling. I honestly don't know how to explain it, because I don't know where people are getting all this money from.
It's just the thought, I guess, of getting a card from a box that's worth $1,000 for $100. Having the chance to get it is just appealing to people.
Yeah, but it's basically just like you're playing the lottery at the end of the day. That's all it comes down to, you know. But it's certainly interesting to watch in terms of the people who are participating. I mean, Jordan and I haven't been in a break ourselves. I've been encouraging him to stay away from it because, you know, I think that type of stuff can be addicting. But we always love the cards and the different things that go on with them. Which other teams didn't we hit up here as we get closer to spring training, scary enough?
I mean, we can transition to baseball if you want. I mean, a lot of stuff. We can just touch upon baseball real quick as we close our show. I mean, looking at the card market for baseball, obviously you want to try to look at, well, they're probably more expensive now, but Tatis, Soto, Bo Bichette, Vlad Guerrero.
All of those guys have been on fire. Those guys are the equivalent of Luka,
Trey,
and Zion.
And Ja.
Their cards have been flying already. The way the market's been set up, it's not even like, you really have to start buying cards 3 months before the season even starts in order to get some type of bargain. I mean, we were just buying Kyler Murray cards. I think we mentioned that on last week's show, with the thought of that rising as the season gets closer. The other thing is, with baseball, if you're looking for some value plays of guys, you know, guys who drop weight, like Vladimir Guerrero, Pete Alonso may be coming back with a more dangerous lineup this year. Gleyber Torres is a guy that we've been buying cards on that are somewhat value priced, and you're hoping to see a rise at the end of the day. But listen, before you know it, 3 weeks from now, I think, excuse me.
He does not have COVID.
Yes, we are a live show. I had COVID, so no, don't have to worry about it. But Gleyber Torres, and 3 weeks till pitchers and catchers report. So
yep, it should
we'll
be a great season.
To look,
I think there's
to.
Only one guy that we're really waiting on to make a decision on what team he wants to go to, Trevor Bauer. He could change the whole league wherever he goes. If he goes to the Yankees, the Dodgers, I saw, were in consideration to get him. Blue Jays, Mets, all those teams. But it should be a great season. We're Yankees fans, so we got a couple pitchers. Tanaka, unfortunately, won't be back, but we were able to get Kluber and Jameson Taillon.
Yeah, no, it's gonna be different not having Tanaka there. He actually put out a nice thank you to the Yankee fans. But we're certainly looking forward to the season coming. You know, again, we just want to thank you guys one last time. Thank everybody for listening. We appreciate it. Please tell your friends. Tell anybody who you think might be interested in listening to the topics that we talk about. And we're always open to suggestions about new things to talk about
and
as well.
Next week, we will be back for a big Super Bowl preview. Our last NFL podcast for now, which is unfortunate until we get to the draft and any potential big trades or moves that happens in the offseason.
But we'll be continuing with the basketball season, the baseball season, other pop culture topics, sports cards, and anything else we can find to talk about to keep all of you guys entertained.
Yep. So thank you again for listening, and we'll be back next week for more Jacobs Dynasty Sports Podcast.
Take care, guys.